Felix, can you hear us?
He's muted.
You are muted.
Is there a 10-second delay?
Yes, we can hear you, Luis.
Do you have a delay? Are we delayed? Do you have a 10-second delay?
Probably so.
All right, we'll get started here in about a couple minutes. Okay, so Phil, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Tom, you ready?
Oh yeah, I'm recording. You're live, guys. You're live today, too. I need to.
All right, good morning, everybody. It is 9 a.m. Today is January 4th. We will call this Board of County Commissioners for the brand new year of 2022 to order at this time. Commissioner Hass, this is him.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the year that has passed and the many blessings you have bestowed on us. We beg your pardon in our many failings and trespasses, and we pray that the coming year be more than a fruitful one. For your intercessions, guidance, and your light to shine on our path. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Peters, would you please lead us in the pledge this morning?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Hess.
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
I am here. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
No changes to the agenda, Commissioner.
Okay. Entertain a motion, please.
I move to approve the agenda as posted.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess.
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Yes, since we have no consideration of minutes, we'll start with the reading and correspondence of Commissioner Committee reports. Commissioner Lopez, would you like to go first this morning?
Yes, sir. I have nothing to report at this time. Thank you.
Commissioner Hess. The only thing I have to report is we had a little bit of moisture that everyone knew about. And welcome to 2022, everybody. I hope this is a prosperous year for all of our communities and our nation. Thank you. Public comment, do we have anybody on the call or in the room today for public comment? Yes, we do. Tom, Mr. Murphy. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, commissioners and staff. I'll be very brief today. There's one thing I forgot to tell you the last time we spoke anybody that is live streaming government, COVID has kind of thrown a wrench into this, but there is an issue with closed caption. Technically, before COVID happened, everything that is live was supposed to be closed captioned for the ADA. And that was one thing when I walked away, I realized I hadn't spoken to you about it. So, second thing is there was a story written about this. And I'm going to address the writer, but my wife and I owned a newspaper for 11 years. And we had an editor, and Paul was the publisher, and we practiced journalistic principles. Now, not that everything here is wrong, but a basic principle of journalism 101 is that you call up the person you're writing about and ask them to clarify, to go on the record. That didn't happen. And I want to give them some more details about this. So this is my way of going on the record and making sure that it's out there, is next time they write a story, the basic principles of journalism is you call the subject that you're writing about and ask them to clarify facts and ask them to give you statements. That's the way we practice journalism. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Anyone else on the call for public comment? Hearing none, we move on to presentations. Mr. Andy Smith with Fleet Enterprises. Andy, are you on the call?
I am here. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today? Really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with me. Hope everybody's getting a good start off to your new 2022. I know I had the opportunity to speak to some folks from the county over the last couple of years, as well as some of the commissioners at the CCI convention. So certainly do welcome this opportunity. Really, what I would like to do today is first and foremost, interview the community enterprise. Secondly, share some industry update information with the commissioners and other folks in the discussion, and also learn a little bit more about the county fleet and some of the budgeting things that I think will be important as we step through the conversation. Was there anything else anybody wanted to make sure that I covered today?
I think we've had some discussion with our administrator in the past, and also with Mrs. Coverley. I don't know if you guys have spoken. He was with Fleet, the Enterprise company in the past. I think we've discussed some things possibly with Sheriff Vehicles or the police a couple of years ago. And I don't know if we have any other questions or comments for you at this time, other than I wanted to personally thank you for your hospitality at the CCI conference. It was nice to see you guys there and given some good dialogue and discussion what we need, what we have. If you could possibly send your email information to Mr. Dorenkamp if he doesn't have it already, with another list again of your services as we move forward. The year's been budgeted for this year, but it doesn't mean that down the road there might be some vehicles that might need to be replaced. You know how sometimes they break down or get involved in accidents or something of that sort of nature. I don't know if we're in a position right now financially to go into looking at a fleet deal, but it's always nice to have that information at our fingertips.
Absolutely. And really my intention today is introduce you to Enterprise, and then assuming that this looks appealing to the county, you know, would love to come down and actually present a solution to you in person. And obviously we want to be wary of the timing on that as it relates to the overall budget cycle. 30,000 foot view of Enterprise, folks, is that we are obviously the fleet management division of Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Do work with a lot of counties here in the state, Mace County, Lake County, Park County, Huerfano County, Ouray County, all certainly come to mind. And really what we help our folks do is take your capital and operating budgets, push those two pools of money together, and see if there's a more creative way that we can come up with replacing your vehicles with that specific amount of money. I was lucky enough to have a conversation with Mr. Dorenkamp a couple of years back. My understanding, though, is that things have changed a little bit, and that there is some more, that there has been a tax that has been passed for public safety type vehicles, which could potentially free up a little bit more budget for other vehicles. Is that correct? And maybe if somebody could expand on that just a little bit before I jump in today.
We had a ballot measure that was passed that was basically to lift a sunset provision for public safety, and that would be primarily district attorney's office and the public safety sheriff's department and so forth. So yeah, that was definitely lifted indefinitely. But moving forward, we're not sure how that's going to play out. I think we are in a secure place financially for years to come because of that. But as you know, in government, everything changes year to year. Sales taxes are based on the sales tax revenue, and that can go up and down as we move forward in the future. Marijuana sales in the state of Colorado are slumping, and we receive a portion of that of the 1.5% sales tax. So again, in government, you know, you've been working with government for a long time, that changes year to year, annually, and what we can do. But it is nice to have a resource like yourself here, and like I said, at our fingertips, that we can move forward in applying our fleet to our county employees.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do appreciate that. Let me go ahead and I'm going to share my screen if that's okay. If the host would allow me to share my screen, that would be that would be great. And I can kind of run through what you know, I plan to share with you today. So you can see a green screen with a little bit of a wheel on it. Everybody with me? You think after a couple of years of COVID, I'd be a pro at this, but still still getting the old Zoom down. So, you know, in terms of Enterprise and who we work with locally, We are working with a number of different counties. I did also talk to Mr. Dornkamp along the way that the city of Fountain has been a long-term client of ours down in your neck of the woods. The other thing I do want to point out is that we are on several cooperative purchasing agreements, one of them being Sourcewell. Certainly if your procurement process, will allow you to use Sourcewell as your due diligence, they did go out and compete this with a number of other companies and have selected Enterprise as their top provider for this particular service. Certainly if anybody has any questions along the way, please do stop me and we can, answer any questions you might have. In terms of vehicles themselves, we certainly understand nobody likes to buy new vehicles because they depreciate like crazy. But there does become a point in time where that depreciation levels out. And the other thing that we do see is fuel expenses going up on older vehicles. Obviously, vehicles that are older are less fuel efficient, lose engine compression over time. And then, of course, you've got increased maintenance and repair costs on those vehicles. So really what Enterprise is working to do with our clients is get you out of a situation where you're replacing vehicles well beyond their useful life and moving that more towards an ideal replacement time, which will allow you to capitalize on resale value and minimize your maintenance costs. The other point I like to make on this slide, everybody, is depreciation with government starts a lot lower than it does with a normal, even fleet or retail buyer because of the large incentive on vehicles. Certainly the county runs a lot of trucks and trucks have upwards of $8,000-$9,000 rebates from the manufacturers, which means that we can really help minimize your depreciation expense on these vehicles by helping you cycle them more regularly and obviously reduce your maintenance and repair costs. Any questions on that at all? And a couple of things that I do want to talk about industry-wide before we get into your specific fleet, because it is important. If anybody's tracked the news over the last several months and even year, we know there's a microchip shortage right now. Vehicles are hard to get. That's done a couple of things. It's put us in a good place with our customers to be able to help find vehicles for you. And it's also been able to allow us to increase resale values on vehicles. And I'll talk about those two items in just a moment here. This slide is important because it represents 12 years of car sales in the United States. You can obviously see that during the recession of 2008, the manufacturers went down to producing 10 million units per year. This is all US car sales, all manufacturers during these specific model years is what these bars represent. As the manufacturers came out of the recession, they obviously made more vehicles, but it took them a long time to get back to pre-recession levels. And two things happened. One, they made a very concerted effort to make less fleet spec vehicles. And two, they were simply just making less vehicles. So that has made it a challenge for my government and fleet customers to find their vehicles that they do need. But the other thing it's done is increase resale value, which allows us to help them cycle more regularly. The other two things I want to point out is COVID has really wreaked havoc on our industry. We went down to 14.5 million units during 2020. We don't really know where 2021 is going to end, but it has been a very challenging time to get vehicles. I'm sure the county has experienced that with, you know, different vehicles you may have ordered or sheriff vehicles. I hear that time and again from our customers. So the most important thing I can impress upon my clients at this point with this particular situation is it is something that we need to get out ahead of. I understand your budget cycles. I understand we need to work within those confines, but we are seeing it taking upwards of a year to get vehicles, which is increasing that lead time. Any questions on that at all? Does anybody know the county? Have you dedicated some funds then for sheriff vehicles and for other vehicles within the county for this particular budget year? Anybody know about what that is, how many vehicles and cost?
We have two. The sheriff is going to buy two vehicles this year.
Okay. Got SO office, two vehicles. Anything dedicated on the rest of the county fleet?
We have one.
We have $500,000 set aside for equipment purchases within the road and bridge department, but we are not looking at changing out any of our smaller fleet pickups, etc., but heavy equipment instead. And then within the sheriff's department, we assign him, I don't want to say it's a dedicated, $110,000 every year that he can use towards vehicle purchases or replacements. And then our finance director, Christy Coberly, also came up with, I think, another two purchases out of the
So there's 74,000.
The safety funds?
Yes, so there's 74,000.
Out there, and 110 from the sales tax.
And then we have 35,000 for administration car, vehicle, for the commissioners and for elected officials to travel.
Right.
Probably a newer vehicle for them.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. I do appreciate that. I'll definitely get into the county fleet in just a couple of slides here, but that does help me better understand what's going on with the county. So a couple of things with the industry, right? We've got the situation with the manufacturing, but the flip side of this is resale values for vehicles are through the roof. I understand that the county's vehicles are fairly old, but there are some 10-year-old vehicles with 100,000 to 150,000 miles on it in your fleet today that are worth a significant amount of money. The other side to this equation is as we look to add vehicles to your fleet, we want to look at proper cycling times to help you capture resale value. So this slide represents 20 years of U.S. car sales for the whole industry going back to 1995. Sorry, I jumped ahead there. You can really see that the cost of used vehicles has gone up quite a bit over the last 20 years. It obviously has spiked a lot because of COVID. But what this tells us is there is a compelling economic reason for us to be able to cycle your vehicles more regularly. And let me get into some numbers around that. What I see with a lot of government clients is they might have a 10-year cycle on vehicles, right? What we need to look at, though, is if you get a 2021 F-250, let's say, that's worth or costs $37,000, your state contract price could be $24,000 to $25,000 for that vehicle with your government incentives. If you run that vehicle for 10 years, it ends up costing you in depreciation expense around $21,000 because we're only able to sell it for about $3,100. But what really happens with my clients and with even the rent a car side of my business is if you look at auction results on vehicles over a period of time, you could take a one-year-old vehicle, you could buy it for $24,700, but sell it for $28,000 through Enterprise and actually have negative depreciation on that vehicle. So this is how a lot of rental car companies make a lot of money, is they're selling those vehicles so quickly that they're actually making money because they get incentives similar to what governments get. Now, I understand that cycling vehicles every year may not be politically feasible within the county, but what we want to be able to do is look at what period of time can we capture good resale value to help you be able to minimize your depreciation expense and reduce your capital outlay. So that's really where Enterprise comes into play. We provide some of that seed capital to be able to buy more vehicles more quickly. I'll show you a slide on that in a second, and be able to help capture your resale value. So generally what we're looking at is approximately a 5-year cycle time on those vehicles. Any questions on that at all? So one of the keys that we bring to the table is resale capability. I mentioned my rental apartment resells their vehicles and they make a lot of money doing that. Because we don't send a lot of vehicles to auction. We have 10 full-time people in Colorado actively selling vehicles to a network of dealers. Because we're getting multiple bids, that does facilitate for most of my government clients their due diligence on getting multiple bids when they sell vehicles. So we can not only sell existing county vehicles, but we can also sell any vehicles that you get through us in an effort to increase those resale values. Because we're keeping them out of an auction and we take this very seriously, we're getting about 8 to 10% above average black book pricing, which is your auction equivalent of blue book. So as we look at cycling a county or city's vehicles every 5 years, this is a huge part of the equation to be able to help you maximize those resale values. Questions on that at all? Okay, cool. I'm going to assume no. I got one more slide, and then I'm going to jump right into the county's fleet. So the other thing that we're able to help you do is increase your fuel economy. If you look at some of the older vehicles you have, obviously they've got old, more inefficient vehicles. As we go through this process with a government partner, we're doing a lot of right sizing and right typing to help you get more fuel efficient vehicles than you might currently have. So your sheriff and Phil and Brandy from your public works team were very helpful in setting this information ahead of time. So this is what your fleet looks like in terms of road and bridge and SO fleet. So I'm going to start with the sheriff fleet. Obviously, this looks to be a fleet that you do have some dedicated funding to. Obviously, you've got anywhere from 2 to 4 vehicles, it sounds like, that you're able to get some money for in the next year to be able to replace. As I look at this fleet, you've got about 8 of those vehicles over 100,000 miles, which is that benchmark that we see much higher maintenance costs and resale value go down. And we would advise a client to sell these vehicles. In working with Montezuma County, they actually had a pretty good replacement fund, but they still struggled with keeping up with certain segments of vehicles. So with their county, we're really focused on their sheriff's office and a couple of other vehicle segments to try to update those vehicles more regularly. So this is obviously something you all know, but this would certainly be a fleet that I could see some opportunity with us being able to update. Let me shift gears and look at the road and bridge fleet. I don't think this is a surprise or a secret for anybody in the county. This fleet is very old. Nearly the whole fleet is over 100,000 miles. I would imagine within this fleet, there might be some spare vehicles. If we were able to upgrade it, we could probably eliminate those spares. Brandy did share with me your maintenance numbers on those vehicles. You've got about 14 vehicles within the last 5 to 10 years old that are costing you nearly $2,000 a year to maintain. We know that if we went to an enterprise managed program and we're able to cycle those vehicles out more quickly, we could drastically reduce that and also help to update that fleet as well. And then the other thing that I did notice, you probably have some other vehicles within human services or other departments I've listed that I looked in your website that I've seen with other counties typically do have vehicles. And in terms of doing a comprehensive analysis for the county, we'd want to include all of those vehicles within that analysis. Did anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts on this particular information?
No, I don't think so. Other than our fleet, we understand is probably old on our road and bridge side, but I will have to give big credits to Mr. Dornkamp and his staff and our maintenance department over there and our mechanics. They've done a great job of keeping that fleet going. You could tell how old our fleet is. And due to the financial burden that the taxpayers in Los Angeles County and the county had, we weren't in a position where we're at now moving forward. So I think moving forward to the future, we might be able to utilize to upgrade our fleet. So I'm glad you're able to analyze this for us, put this together. We know the fleet is old, but under the circumstances we were in for the past 5 to 10 years, I think this group has done a hell of a job keeping our vehicles on the road. So thank you for spotlighting that.
Yeah, they've got an older fleet there and obviously have done a good job keeping those vehicles on the road as they have aged, for sure. Any other comments or questions at this point?
Andrew, yes. In looking at the raw data that both from the SO as well as the road and bridge fleet, what I know we have, you have here that the oldest vehicles goes back to 1983, which is basically, those are pretty outdated. What is your perception? I know you're saying that we can save some dollars, but we would like to see, obviously, you know, this would be a huge, huge undertaking for Los Angeles County as well as for your company to be able to at least take a look at one sector of the county, i.e., the road and bridge. But what are you looking at as far as just from your expert eye, where some of the savings would be capitalized for Los Angeles County on this particular chart?
Absolutely. So, the first thing we have to look at, Commissioner, is how much maintenance and repair you're spending on this particular fleet. and certainly do want to have some further conversation and clarification with Brandy about those numbers so that I can ensure that what we have is very comprehensive. The other thing to look at, and did have this conversation with Mr. Dorenkamp a couple of years back, is if the county can dedicate some amount of capital funding to replace vehicles through a lease funding model, we're able to make those dollars go a lot further. So if you look at vehicle might cost $40,000, sounds like the county is dedicated, you know, two vehicles to be able to replace. If the county can dedicate a bit of capital dollars, we can actually leverage that capital to update more vehicles more quickly, reduce your maintenance and repair cost, reduce your fuel expenditures because we're getting newer vehicles, to be able to get you in a place where you don't have a fleet that's this old. So we can accelerate the replacements. I've got an example of what that looks like for a different county that we had put together. And again, I wanted to at least have a conversation with the county, ensure that this is something that is of interest to you, and then get those other vehicles in the analysis so we can do a comprehensive analysis for the whole county. Does that make sense? I think the other thing I would like to have some more conversation with staff about is how many of these vehicles end up being spares because some of the older vehicles might be in the shop, might be being maintained. You know, how many of them are appropriate to put into this program? That's another thing that we have to consider is I have clients that they may have a vehicle that gets, you know, 100 miles a month or something like that, and it just isn't used that much. And sometimes we put those out of the program. So when I put an analysis in front of you, I want to make sure that I've done my homework and talked to staff to ensure that it is the most comprehensive and complete as possible. Did that answer the question? Okay, let me show you an analysis or an example of the deliverable that we would provide to the county once we get all of the data together. So the first thing that we do is we put together a fleet replacement plan. So this particular entity had 260 vehicles. They're obviously, you know, one of the larger folks that we would work with. You know, our typical clients have around 75 vehicles as our very typical client. But what we do here is we look at how old is the fleet. How can we replace that fleet over a period of time? And then what would the cost be to do that? So with this 260 vehicle fleet, we were saying in the first year of doing the program, we want to replace anything that's 10 years or older or 100,000 miles. And then we click through a period of time where we're replacing the rest of those vehicles. So in this model, we were looking to replace 70 vehicles the first year, 20, 46, 60, and so on. And I also like to profile how many of the older vehicles a particular entity might have, just for a graphical of really kind of how old that fleet looks like. So this is just a plan that we then use to come up with a model financially of how we would accomplish this. I know I'm running through this pretty quickly, but I'm really trying to give you a high level overview. I will absolutely forward this to you after we're finished today, so you can have some further thoughts on it and questions for me. And then this is the real piece of information that we would do for your county to show you what this would look like financially. So within this entity, the 260 vehicles that they were replacing every 10 to 12 years were demanding that they needed to come up with about $750,000 in capital for replacement of the vehicles over that period of time. On top of those capital dollars, though, they had maintenance and fuel expenses that led to a fleet budget of approximately $1.3 million. Layering in vehicles over a five-year period of time, following that model I just showed you, the 70 vehicles, the 20, the 46, et cetera, we move from a purchase budget in the first year of nearly $750,000 down to a lease budget of $375,000. So for roughly half the amount of money that it was taking them to replace 27 vehicles per year, we were actually able to replace 70 vehicles for them. We also took equity from any owned vehicles to replace those. And because we're replacing the older, most high-cost maintenance and repair vehicles, we're taking their maintenance down over a period of time. Their fuel goes down over a period of time because they're putting them in brand new, more fuel efficient vehicles. And as you can see, over a period of time, their fleet budget goes down. And net cash is the savings that we can generate from this program over a period of time. So what our goal is to work with a government and work with the county and say, okay, with the capital dollars you have budgeted and the maintenance and repair costs and fuel costs you're experiencing now, how can we better utilize that? In this case, the $1.3 million budget, how can we better utilize that pool of money to go into a lease funding model, help you replace the vehicles every, 4 to 7 years, and reduce maintenance and repair costs. And as you can see, in years 6 through 10, we're able to capitalize on equity from vehicles that we are selling for the county that were leased by the county for 4 to 5 years. Our lease is very unique in that the county does recognize all equity that we get above the book value of the loan. And I can get into more details on that as we, analyze a complete program for Los Angeles County. But that said, it does allow the county to capture that resale value as we go into the program. So again, our goal is to save the county money or worst case scenario, break even, but help you update that fleet on a more regular basis. So I know this is an example. I've thrown a lot of numbers at you. I will send this to you. But any initial questions that come to mind at this point?
I do have a question. So Andrew, on this particular example that you have on the chart that you have on the share screen, what is the lease maintenance? Say that we were to get into a total programming system, either with either department, how do you adjust for the maintenance of those vehicles going forward? I know you have here excluded tires, maintenance costs are exclusive of tires, unless not on the lease, and so on. But the rest of the repairs, how does this plan calculate those and build up for the allowance to continue to have the maintenance cost?
Gotcha. So when we estimate the maintenance cost within a leased vehicle, we look at how much our full maintenance program would cost an entity. And whether you choose to use our full maintenance program, which is outsourced to local providers within your community, or you choose to continue to maintain the vehicles in-house, as some of my clients have chosen to do, we know that maintenance and repair is going to go down tremendously for the simple fact that if you're cycling vehicles at a five-year point, cycling meaning that you're replacing vehicles within a five-year period of time, we know you're going to have a factory warranty on the vehicle for a full 3 years or 36,000 miles. And for most makes and models, you're going to have a full powertrain warranty for either 60,000 or 100,000 miles. So we know that we can take a client that may be spending a lot of money in maintenance and repair and really just moving that more to preventative maintenance in that vehicle with a very limited amount of repair expense during that five-year period of time. Furthermore, my understanding is, at least with some of the vehicles, some of the maintenance and repair has been outsourced. I was looking through some old notes that I had. Is that still the case, or is the maintenance and repair on the light duty vehicles done in-house? Can somebody maybe clarify for me on that?
We are outsourcing some of the work. We don't have the current technology it takes to analyze some of that work that needs to be done with some of our equipment, basically computers, et cetera, the software that goes with it.
Thank you very much. So to further answer your question, Commissioner, you could still do the maintenance in-house, or you could outsource it if you want, totally up to the county. But what we know is in the first couple of years, you've got very little maintenance and repair, very little repair and just a little bit of maintenance that needs to be done. So we know we can drastically reduce what the county may be spending right now in those areas. Does that answer the question, sir? Thank you. Any other questions?
I got a question. This is Commissioner House. With if we enter into this agreement with Fleet Enterprises,
How are your services being collected? Do you have like a flat rate per unit? How do you do that?
Yep, that's a great question. So our pricing is all via Sourcewell. It is online. I can get you a link to it. Essentially, Enterprise makes money when we provide vehicles to a customer. So part of the lease charge on a monthly basis does cover our cost of doing business. And so we would provide to the county a account manager with Enterprise that would year over year help determine what vehicles need to be replaced, assist with the resale of the current fleet if you chose to do that through Enterprise. And then any of our the costs that the county would incur are encapsulated within that lease payment, and again are all fully disclosed in within that Sourcewell contract.
Thank you. And is there a possibility that you would be able to do like a projection out of what the savings would be to the county, or maybe there would be a deficit to the county with the services, yes. Right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And so my intention of our discussion today is just to ensure this is something that is of interest to the commissioners, at which point I would like to gather some more information. Again, I'm sure there's some other vehicles that the county has within assessor and coroner, emergency manager, et cetera, would like to get a comprehensive list of that, ensure that I have the maintenance numbers that we need to be able to benchmark what your current costs are. And my intention would be to put together that analysis that I just shared with you, specifically for Las Animas County. And of course, the other thing I will commit to you is if there is a deficit, we can have a conversation about that prior to having a meeting and ensure that the county is open to listening to that. Having done many of these over the years, certainly our goal is to get you cost savings or worst case scenario, cost neutral to be able to replace and upgrade those vehicles. I would also like to comment that I think that, somewhere within the county, there's probably somebody looking at this fleet saying, hey, we haven't replaced any vehicles for the last 4 or 5 years on road and bridge, and I don't know what the rest of the fleet looks like. Outsider looking in, this is definitely, whether done through Enterprise or not, something that the county would need to address, in my opinion, at some point in the future to ensure that some of those vehicles are replaced at some point in the future.
Thank you.
I may add, Andy, before we move forward or even contemplate moving forward with fleet or with Enterprise, we need to have dialogue with the commissioners and our council, legal counsel, regarding our bid procurement process before we move forward with anybody, to see if the parameters would meet our bid procurement process. We do have a policy that anything over $6,000 in Los Angeles County needs to go out to bid, and probably including services such as yours. So before you go ahead and dive in and start putting a lot of work and effort into this, I think we need to have a dialogue amongst the commissioners and our administration before we do that moving forward. But I like to say this is seems like a no-brainer situation to help the fleet here in Los Angeles County. It's a really neat program the way I look at it, but I can see it so far. The only hang-up that I would have, and maybe you have a solution to this question, is a lot of our maintenance fleet or our road and bridge fleet have additional equipment on them, such as snow plows and toolboxes and other types of features of this nature. How do we secure those? Those vehicles come with those types of extra added equipment? Do you add that into the bid process? How does that work?
Yes, sir. Great question, and thanks for asking that. We can include all aftermarket equipment into the program. We can include that into the payment stream if you want. You can pay cash for that if you would like, but we can deliver vehicles with aftermarket on that. As another point of reference, on the commercial side of my business, about 30% of it is in the oil and gas sector. You are, I'm sure, very familiar with that in your neck of the woods. I have a lot of clients down in the Farmington area, and in northern New Mexico, and we do fully upfit their vehicles with toolboxes and brush guards and all sorts of different aftermarket equipment that we can do for you. Last comment on the sheriff's fleet, we can also put all of their equipment into the program as well. So that is a possibility for the county.
Okay, great. Anything else from you, Andy?
In closing, I really appreciate everybody's time today. I will circle back around with your staff. I will get this PowerPoint over to you. I will also provide the Sourcewell information for you in the event that that is a acceptable way for you to do your due diligence. We want to be respectful of your purchasing process. We certainly understand that. We are also happy to respond to an RFP if that is deemed the most appropriate way for the county to take a look at these services. And, you know, certainly that next step would be to do an analysis, just like what I had showed you specifically for Las Animas County, once we, get the rest of the information together from your different departments. And I just close and thank you for your time today. We really do appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Andy. And we'll look forward to seeing you this summer sometime, I'm sure.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Okay. Next up, elected officials update, since we have two of them in the room. Mrs. Lee Nanning, would you like to go first? Do you have anything today for us?
I do not.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Amato.
I always have something. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Happy New Year. Glad to be in the new year. Just to give you an update, we are going to be in the process of running the 2021 tax roll, so I can get over to the treasurer's office so she can get the 2021 tax bill sent out. Due to a resolution, or not a resolution, but a law change, and now it's Colorado Statute 39.3.119.5, we will be sending out our personal property declarations to all of our businesses within Los Angeles County. The majority of them will not be receiving one because now the exemption threshold is $50,000 actual cost of equipment. So I want to let our folks out there, our business owners, know that don't worry, you won't be receiving a declaration. So, and if they have questions, please call our office. Due to the law change, the new exemption went from $79,000 to $50,000. So we're hoping to save some cost on our side, but it is something I want the taxpayers to be aware of. They will not be receiving a declaration. And other than that, windows are going in our office, so hopefully we'll be getting more.
So do you have a question?
Yes.
So we won't even send out notices on those then, right? Do we,
generate tax bills. Yes, there won't be a tax bill generated for their personal property equipment for those businesses.
Will we lose any income?
Well, we won't lose income for this year. The governor wrote it in the bill that they will be backfilling. Ms. Leonetti will be sending a report to the governor's office, I think in June, I believe, but I'm not positive on that date. And the governor's office, or the same mechanism that funds our senior and veteran exemptions, is sort of how this is taking place. They are supposed to send us a check, and then Ms. Leonetti will disperse that amount to each of the entities that are impacted by the loss of the new exemption for personal property. So I know this year it's funded. We'll see how Colorado funding mechanisms work in the future.
Thank you, Ms. All right, Mr. Mestis chimed in. He didn't have anything for us today. Sheriff Navarrete, I see he's on the call, Sheriff.
Good morning, commissioners. No updates today. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. And I don't think we have anyone from the DA's office or the coroner's office. Unfinished business, we have none. Item 8, new business, consideration of resolution 22-001 designating KCRT FM as official radio station for Los Angeles County. Mr. Dornkamp, would you please read the resolution?
Resolution of the Board of County Commission, Los Angeles County, Colorado, designating KCRT 92.5 FM and AM as official radio station for Los Angeles County, Colorado for 2022. Resolution number 22-001. Whereas it is reasonable and necessary for the Board of County Commissioners to designate commercial radio station coverage throughout Los Angeles County as the official radio station for the purpose purposes of broadcasting emergency notifications, the dissemination of information to the general public within Los Angeles County, and Fraser radio station KCRT 90.5 FM and AM is duly licensed by the Federal Communication Commission to operate as a general commercial radio station within Los Angeles County. They function as the official emergency alert system for EAS and radio station for the purpose of broadcasting alerts and warnings to the public within Los Angeles County. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that Board of County Commissioners does hereby designate KCRT 92.5 FM and AM radio station located 100 Fisher Drive, Trinidad, Colorado, as official radio station within Los Angeles County. The purpose of broadcasting all emergency alerts and warnings to the general public and broadcasting general information to the citizens of Los Angeles County for the county year 2022. Upon a motion made second, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted as fourth day of January 2022 over the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature.
Thank you. Entertain a motion at this time, please.
Would move for approval of resolution 22-001 designating KCRT AM or FM as official radio station for Los Angeles County.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Pete Sopich?
Yes.
Pass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Sopich?
Yes. Item B, consideration of resolution 22-002 designating financial institutions for the deposit of public funds for Los Angeles County. Mr. Darnell Campbell, please read the resolution.
Resolution of the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado, designating financial institutions for the deposit of public funds of Los Angeles County during 2022. Resolution number 22-002. Whereas the Board of County Commission is required to formally designate financial institutions for the deposit of public funds of Los Angeles County, and whereas all financial institutions holding public funds are required to satisfy the requirements under CRS 11-10.5-101, entitled the Public Deposit Protection Act, print PDPA in print, stating that the requirements for the protection of public funds held on deposit, and because Los Angeles County Treasurer Don Leonetti is responsible for the collection, custody, and disbursement of public funds for taxing entities within Los Angeles County, the said County Treasurer has recommended to the County Board those financial entities that qualify under BPA for the holding of public funds during 2022. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one, Board of County Commission does hereby accept the recommendations of County Treasurer Don Leonetti for the designation of financial institutions that qualify under BPA for the deposit of public funds of Los Angeles County during 2022, including Century Savings and Loan Association, 233 East Main Street, Trinidad, Colorado, 81082, Bank of the West, 125 North Commercial Street, Trinidad, Colorado, 81082, IN Bank of Trinidad, 320 North Congress Street, Trinidad, Colorado, 81082, First National Bank of Trinidad, 100 East Main Street, Trinidad, Colorado, 81082, East Investment Management, 10237 West 52nd Place, number 104 West Wheatridge, Colorado, 80033. Colo Trust, Print, Colorado Local Government Liquid Asset Trust, Imprint, 717 17th Street, Suite 1850, Denver, Colorado, 80202. CSAC, 1675 Broadway, Suite 500, Denver, Colorado, 80202. On a motion made to second, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this fourth day of January 2022, voter of the Board of County Commission, Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature.
Thank you, Mr. Camp. I entertain a motion at this time.
I move to approve resolution number 22-002, designating the financial institutions for the deposit of public funds for Los Angeles County during fiscal year 2022.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Pete Sopich?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Sopich?
Yes. Item C, consideration of resolution 22-003, designate Trinidad Chronicle News and World Global Journal official publication for Los Angeles County. Mr. Don Campbell, please read the resolution.
Resolution of the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado, designate the Chronicle News and World Journal as official newspapers for publication of legal notices about Los Angeles County during 2022. Resolution number 22-003, whereas in accordance with state statutes, The Board of County Commissioners and other elected officials are required from time to time to have legal notices published and to disseminate other information to the general public within Los Angeles County. And whereas the Chronicle News and the World Journal are newspapers in general circulation within Los Angeles County and are therefore qualified to publish legal notices and other public information is required to be published by Los Angeles County. Now therefore be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one. Board of County Commissioners hereby designates the Trinidad Chronicle News, the World Journal, as official newspapers for the purpose of publication of legal notices and such other legal publications as acquired by law during 2022. On motion made and second, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this 4th day of January 2022 by order of Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature notes.
Thank you, Mr. Durkin. I entertain a motion, please. I would move to approve Resolution 22-003, designating Trinidad Chronicle News and World Journal official publications for Los Angeles County.
I second that motion.
Mr. Pete Sobich?
Yes.
Max?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Sobich?
Yes. Item D, consideration of Resolution 22-004, establishing dates and times for conducting regular Board of County Commissioner meetings for Los Angeles County. Mr. Darnett, please read the resolution.
Resolution of the Board of County Commissioner of Los Angeles County, Colorado, establishing the dates and times for the conduct of regular meetings of the Board of County Commissioners during 2022. Resolution number 22-004. Whereas Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners, in conformance with CRS 30-10-303, is required to meet at the county seat for the purpose of conducting county business no less frequently than once each month. And whereas the Board of County Commissioners desire to continue this established practice of meeting twice monthly in regular session for consideration of such business that may come before the board to be held on first and third Tuesday of each calendar month, beginning at the hour of 9 a.m. And whereas the board deserves the right to meet in a special session as deemed necessary by the board to transact business that may not be reasonable to be held within a regular meeting. Now therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado. One, in the calendar year 2022, the Board of County Commissioners shall meet in regular session twice monthly on the first and third Tuesday of each calendar month, begin at the hour of 9 a.m. The Commissioner's Chamber is located in room 201, Los Angeles County Courthouse, 200 East 1st Street, Trinidad, Colorado, or virtually for the purposes of consideration of such matters that may come before the Board. Upon motion made and second, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this 4th day of January 2022. Board of the Board of County Commission, Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature notes.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, please.
I move to approve resolution number 22-004, establishing the dates and times for the conduct of regular meetings of the Board of County Commissioners during fiscal year 2022.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Julie Sobich?
Yes. Item E, consideration of resolution 22-005, establishing the schedule of periodic meeting dates and times Board of County Commissioners and Department of Human Services meetings. Mr. Darkin, please read the resolution.
Resolution of Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County, Colorado, establishing a schedule for periodic meeting days and times for the transaction of business of the board, acting in its capacity as Los Angeles County Board of Human Services during calendar year 2022. Resolution number 22-005. Whereas Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners serves as Los Angeles County Board of Human Services in accordance with CRS 26-1-116, and whereas Los Angeles County Board of Human Services is required to meet periodically to conduct human services related businesses and consider such other human services related matters as may come for the Board of Human Services, and whereas Los Angeles County Board of Human Services, in accordance with state statutes, oversees the provision of public assistance within the county, in accordance with the rules and regulations established by the Colorado Department of Human Services for the administration of public assistance and welfare activities. Whereas Los Angeles County Board of Human Services shall preside at all meetings of the Board of Human Services, and when authorized by board action itself, shall execute all documents approved by the Board of Human Services. Now therefore be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, one, for the calendar year 2022, the Board of County Commissioners shall meet in its capacity as Board of Human Services after their last regularly scheduled Board of County Commissioners meeting each month. to all meetings of the Board of Human Services shall begin immediately following conclusion of Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners regular meeting, unless otherwise posted, shall be held in Commissioner's Chambers, Los Angeles County Courthouse, room 201, located 200 East First Street, Chittenden, Colorado, or virtually. Three, the Chairman of the Board of County Commissioners shall also serve as Chairman of the Board of Human Services. Upon motion made and seconded, affirmatively vote, this resolution is adopted this fourth day of January 2022. Board of Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature notes.
Thank you. We entertain a motion this time, please.
Move to approve Resolution 22-005,
Yes, you need a break, Mr. Arkin.
No, sir, I'm good.
Okay, item F, consideration of Resolution 22-006 designating holiday observation for Los Angeles County. Please read the resolution.
Resolution of Board of County Commission, Los Angeles County, Colorado, designating holidays to be observed by Los Angeles County during the county year 2022, including New Year's Day 2023. Resolution number 22-006. Whereas Los Angeles County, as a unit of local government within the state of Colorado, recognizes various holidays that occur during the county year 2022, and whereas authorities vested in the Board of County Commissioners to designate those holidays to be observed by Los Angeles County during county year 2022. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one following dates occurring during county year 2022 shall be observed as official holidays recognized by Los Angeles County shall include New Year's Day 2023, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Monday, January 17, 2022, President's Day, Monday, February 21, 2022, Memorial Day, Monday, May 30, 2022, Independence Day, Monday, July 4, 2022, Labor Day, Monday, September 5, 2022, Columbus Day, Monday, October 10, 2022, Veterans Day, Friday, November 11, 2022, Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 24, 2022, day after Thanksgiving, Friday, November 25, 2022, Christmas Eve, Friday, December 23, 2022, Christmas Day, Monday, December 26, 2022. Grant the observance of Christmas Day and grant New Year's Eve, Friday, December 30, 2022, New Year's Day, Monday, January 2, 2023, in observance of New Year's Day and prayer. Upon a motion made and seconded, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this fourth day of January 2022, by order of the Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County, Colorado. All by your signature notes.
Entertain a motion at this time.
Motion to approve our resolution number 22-006. Designating holidays to be observed by Los Angeles County during the calendar year 2022, including New Year's Day 2023.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item G, consideration of Resolution 22-007, establishing hours of operations for Los Angeles County departments. Please read the resolution, Mr. Arkin.
Resolution of the Board of County Commission, Los Angeles County, Colorado, establishing the hours of operation for offices and departments of Los Angeles County Government during calendar year 2022. Resolution number 22-007. Whereas in accordance with CRS 30-10-109, the Board of County Commissioners authorized to establish the hours of operation for all offices and departments of the county for access by the public and transaction of daily business during calendar year 2022. And whereas it is the desire of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County to accommodate the needs of the general public during 2022, provide for the access to various offices and departments of the county by establishing hours of operation during which times the general public may transact business in such offices and departments, with the exception of designated holidays. Such businesses include the payment of taxes and fees, obtaining information, acquiring licenses, records, and other documents, etc. Now, therefore, be resolved that Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one, public hours excluding road and bridge maintenance, during calendar year 2022, all offices and departments of Los Angeles County, excluding road and bridge and maintenance, shall be open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. to the public. These offices and departments will be closed Saturday through Sunday and designated holidays. to public access in the courthouse. Public access into Los Angeles County Courthouse shall be allowed Monday through Friday, beginning at 7:30 a.m. and concluding at 5 p.m. with the exception of designated holidays. However, access to various offices and agencies during these times may be limited according to their specific hours of public operation. On motion made and second, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this 4th day of January 2022, lower the Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature notes.
Thank you. Entertain a motion at this time, please.
Move for approval of resolution 22-007, establishing hours of operation for Los Angeles County departments.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
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 Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item H, consideration of resolution 22-008, establishing posting locations of meeting notices for Los Angeles County and Department of Human Services. Would you please read the resolution?
Resolution of the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado, establishing the posting locations of meeting notices for the Board of County Commissioners meetings and the Board of Human Services meetings for calendar year 2022. Resolution number 22-008, whereas the Board of County Commissioners and the CDC Board of Human Services for Los Angeles County in conformance with CRS 24-6-402, the Colorado Open Meeting Act is required to conduct county business at meetings open to the public and to provide public with timely notice of its meetings, dates, time, and locations. And whereas it is the duty of the Board of County Commissioners to provide timely public notice of the date, time, location, subject matter of issues to be considered by the board, a meeting to consider action on any policy, position, resolution, rule, or regulation, or to take formal action on any matter that may come before the Board of County Commissioners or its capacity as the Board of Human Services, and whereas CRS 24-6-402, print 2 in print, print C in print, provides for public bodies to satisfy compliance by the time of posting notices of such public meetings on the San Luis County website with a minimum of 24 hours of advance notice, when practical, of the date, time, location, subject matter of issues to be considered by the Board of County Commissioners. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, pursuant to CRS 24-6-402, print 2 in print, print C in print, notices of the meetings of the Board of County Commissioners and the Board of Legal Services for 2022. Including when practical, a specific agenda and identifying the subject of all matters to be considered by the board during such public meetings shall be posted on the following website. One website, https://4-4-losangelescounty.colorado.gov/. Two, the Board of County Commissioners designate the following locations as official posting places for notices of meetings of the Board of County Commissioners, the Board of Human Services. If the Board of County Commissioners is unable to post a notice online in exigent or emergency circumstances, such as power outages or an interruption in internet services that prevents the public from accessing the notice online. Eight, a bulletin board placed at the entrance of the west doors to Los Angeles County Courthouse facing Maple Street, Trinidad, Colorado. B, a bulletin board placed at the entrance to the commissioner's chambers located in 20201 Los Angeles County Courthouse located 200 East 1st Street, Trinidad, Colorado. On a motion made second, affirming vote, this resolution was adopted this 4th day of January 2022 for the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature notes.
Thank you. Entertain a motion at this time, please.
I move to approve resolution number 22-008, establishing the posting locations of meeting notices for the Board of County Commissioners meetings and the Board of Human Services meetings for calendar year 2022.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner
Felix
Lopez?
Yes.
Yes. Item I, consideration of resolution 22-009, designating Dixon Waller and Company as fiscal auditor for Los Angeles County. Please read the resolution.
Resolution of the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado, designating Dixon Waller and Company as financial auditor for Los Angeles County for 2022. Resolution number 22-009. Whereas the Board of County Commission is required to have prepared annually in fiscal audit of all financial statements of the county for each fiscal year, reflecting the financial condition of the county in accordance with general, with generally accepted accounting principles and auditing standards, and where such a fiscal audit is required to be prepared by a certified public accountant licensed by the state of Colorado. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado. And one, the Board of County Commissioners hereby designates the firm of Dixon Waller and Company, Inc., as a financial auditor for Los Angeles County for fiscal year 2022. On motion made and seconded, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted as 4 p.m. January 2022 by order of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado. Vote by your signature.
Entertain a motion, please.
Move to approve resolution 22-009 as a name of Dixon Waller and Company as fiscal auditor for Los Angeles County.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item J, consideration of veteran service officer. Mr. Darby.
Commissioners, I believe it's every 2 years, yes, is we have to designate a veteran service officer for Los Angeles County. Administrative Assistant Paul Becerro submitted advertisements for letters of interest to be sent to the county. We did receive one letter of interest from our current veteran service officer, Ray Odom. So I ask the board to approve Ray Odom's be designated our VSO officer for a 2-year term.
Do you have any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, entertain a motion, please.
I move to approve the and designate the VSO for Los Angeles County, Mr. Ray Odom.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item K, consideration of EMPG grant, Mr. Odom.
Commissioners, I will defer to emergency manager Kim Chavez.
Sorry. Good morning, Commissioners. This is our annual EMPG grant application, and it is designed to help pay for some of the funding for my EM program.
The same amount?
Once we turn in the application, they will determine
okay,
the amount.
Okay, this is just the beginning.
This is
the
grant
application. Normally, we're going to go 22?
13.5.
13.5. Where do we get 22 from? No, it's equipment grant, wasn't it?
Yeah, we received several different grants. Vehicle, credentialing system, radio.
Okay, do we have any other questions for Ms. Chavez? Entertain a motion, please.
Move for approval of the grant.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Item L, consideration of Stonewall Shopping Bag liquor license renewal. Ms. Nelson.
I reviewed the application and complete any concerns.
No questions or comments from the board? I entertain a motion, please.
The Stonewall Shopping Bag liquor license.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item 9, financial matters. Considerations of bills and payroll for the second half of December 2021. Mrs. Colby.
Payroll as December 31st. Is $166,670.83. Do you have any questions on payment? The only bills that were paid was on December 22nd, 2021 for $133,325.08. In that packet, we paid JDBS grant. That's a pass-through. We received the funds and gave it back to the Health Solution. Emergency manager got a new vehicle for $31,000. Postage for the treasurer, we have to prepaid it, $11,000 for the tax roll. And that was lodged in this packet. That's it.
Ms. Coverley, one quick question, if I may. On the JBBS grant, is Health Solutions the only one providing those services, to your knowledge?
Are they what?
Is Health Solutions under the JBBS grant, the jail-based behavioral services, are they the only one providing those services for the jail's facility?
Yes, they're providing it, yes. Of other companies?
I thought that's what the Health Solutions.
Is Derek still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, maybe you can answer this question, Derek.
Can you repeat that?
Sheriff, my question on the jail-based behavioral services, who are the companies providing the services to your facility?
It's Healthcare Partners is the contract that we have, and that they get funds from the JBBS. And it's actually a contract. It's more not necessarily a grant, but it's a contract that they can give every year as long as the state has the funds to give.
And that was related to the presentation that you had that about a month or so ago?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have any other questions or comments for Mrs. Coverley? Anything else, Mrs. Coverley?
Okay.
Entertain a motion, please.
Move to approve bills and payroll for the second half of December 2021.
I second that motion.
Mr. Pete Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes. There's nothing else today, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, entertain a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
Second motion. Mr.
Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for being here today.